is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Save me? Heaven? All right, sign me up for that one. Okay, but He's going to be Lord too. You know, you need to repent. Repent. Yeah, and follow Him, and He's going to be Lord. He's going to come into your life, and He's going to speak to your heart, and He's going to guide you, and He's going to tell you to stop certain things, and He's going to be real. He's going to be alive. It's going to be cool. It's going to be very exciting. You mean I got to change? Forget that. Authority. We struggle with this idea of authority.
Jesus offers us this incredible gift of salvation. It is a gift, but as Pastor Troy reminds us in today's message, God also calls us to repentance. This might be the hard part for many. We have to surrender ourselves to His authority and allow Him to lead us away from some things that we may not want to let go of. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's study.
We're in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. One of the problems the world has with Jesus is that He commands authority. He is Lord. He can't just be received as Savior. He's my Savior. He's the one who loves. He's the loving God. God is love. But He also must be Lord. There's a parable that Jesus spoke just before He came into town, into Jerusalem, where He's at now. Before He came into town on Palm Sunday, Jesus told a parable. And that parable in Luke 19 spoke about a nobleman who came and received a kingdom for himself. And he entrusted those that he left behind with resources, told them to invest it while they were left behind. You got work to do. And get busy about that work. And he rebuked, when he came back, he rebuked those who did not invest. But he said, bring those enemies of mine who would not have me rule over them and slay them before me. The idea was very clear. The point that we should take from that is very clear. If you are part of the kingdom, then He is the king of that kingdom. He is to be Lord. He's your Lord. But if He is not your king, if He is not your ruler, if He is not your Lord, then you do not belong to that kingdom. You cannot belong to a kingdom that you don't submit to the Lord, the authority of that kingdom. Well, Jesus has just come into Jerusalem. And I want to harmonize the Gospels here. I'm not going to come up here and sing some harmonies for you. What I mean is, when we harmonize the Gospels, is we take the Gospels and we line them up, all of the events, so that we get the full picture and the right flow of what has taken place. And so as we harmonize the Gospels and we look at these events that have taken place, Jesus comes into town Palm Sunday. And when He comes into town, that day, that same day, He goes into the temple. And He goes into the temple and He just basically looks around. Because it says in Mark's Gospel, it was late. And then He went out to Bethany and stayed the night in Bethany. The next day He comes into town, according to the Gospels. When He comes into town that next day, He curses a fig tree. His disciples, okay, curse a fig tree. He goes into the temple, basically curses them too. Because He drives, you remember that was an exciting church service. He turns over the money changers. I mean, that is a service you don't fall asleep in. And so He had this amazing service. And then He goes out and obviously at that point, some are applauding and listening and they're excited about all that's going on. Others are planning. They're not thrilled. And they're starting to figure out, try to figure out ways we can get rid of this guy. We're about tired of this stuff. And so that evening, the second day, Jesus goes and he stays in Bethany again. The third day he comes in. It's actually the third day that they come. They're coming to the city. And as they do, they see the fig tree again. And they're amazed that it had withered so fast. This is in Mark's gospel that he gives us the order. And we talked about the authority of Christ. The reason that they were so amazed is they forget. When he says, he does. If they say you're cursed, it's cursed. Done deal. The Roman centurion understood that. Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because the Roman centurion said, you don't have to come to my house to heal him. Just say it. I understand authority. I'm a Roman centurion. I tell someone, he does it. I speak the word, it gets done, and I understand you have that kind of authority. So, Jesus goes into town, and now he enters town, he's teaching, and guess what he has to deal with? A question on authority. By what authority do you do these things? Jesus is Lord. What's amazing is he has all authority. But we often live like or act like he doesn't, especially in my life. Don't tell me what to do. That's the problem that people have with Jesus. Save me? Heaven? All right, sign me up for that one. Okay, but he's going to be Lord too. You know, you need to repent. Repent. Yeah, and follow him, and he's going to be Lord. He's going to come into your life, and he's going to speak to your heart, and he's going to guide you, and he's going to tell you to stop certain things, and he's going to be real. He's going to be alive. It's going to be cool. It's going to be very exciting. You mean I got to change? Forget that. Authority. We struggle with this idea of authority. Well, this third day in Jerusalem, this was the day they saw Jesus' authority. They come into town and see the withered fig tree. And then as they go into town, they run into this question about his authority. And guess what? On this day, Jesus begins to tell parables about who will enter the kingdom of heaven, and who will not. Who are prepared, and those who only look prepared. By the end of this day here, this third day, Jesus will predict the temple's destruction, speak about the signs of the end of times, the separation of the sheep and the goats. Do you get where he's at now in his ministry? People have had a chance to make a decision. They've had a chance already. We're going to talk about this, speaking of authority, to acknowledge his authority. And now he's saying, now you have a choice to make. Now, we're not going to get that far today. We're not going to talk about all of those end times things. We're going to get there. But today, we're going to address their question on Jesus' authority. And so we pick up in verse 23. Now, when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching. So he's teaching and they interrupt him. And said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? What things are they talking about? Well, all the things that have transpired. First, he's teaching in the temple with authority. So there's that. But back up a little bit, there's the triumphal entry. He rides in like some majestic, important guy or something. And the religious leaders tried to tell him, hey, your disciples are crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, the Son of David, all that. Hey, quiet your disciples. Because in their minds, they're blaspheming right now. You're going to let this happen? And Jesus didn't say, oh yeah, yeah, only God should get glory. He says, you know what? If they were to be quiet, the rocks would cry out. Because I am Hosanna in the highest. I am salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the promised Messiah. I'm the Son of David. So, there's the triumphal entry that they're concerned about. What authority do you have to do that, right, in that way? Then there's the cleansing of the temple. I think that was the big one. I mean, you came in turning tables over, telling people to get to my house and be a house of prayer. Your house, this is God's house, not your house. What authority do you have to do these things? Jesus is probably thinking, I've been showing you what authority I have. It's a good question, though, right? If you're sincere. Now, theirs isn't a sincere question. They just keep throwing these questions at Jesus. But it is a good question. What authority does he have? He's already shown what authority he has. First, he has the authority to forgive sins. We saw that. Because when the four friends brought the paralytic, they set him before Jesus. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And the religious leaders, some of them there, thinking in their own minds, oh, blasphemy, only God has the authority to forgive sins. And Jesus says, knowing their thoughts, basically said, look, so that you know I have the authority to forgive sins, watch this. Rise, take up your mat and walk. And he did it. So it was as if God was saying, you know what? He has the authority to forgive sins. Only God has that authority, and Jesus has that authority. So, what does that say? But there was more. He had authority over the Sabbath, their beautiful, wonderful, holy Sabbath. Don't work. Don't do anything. Keep the Sabbath holy. He was Lord of that too. According to their standards, he had violated that numerous times. He healed on the Sabbath. Healed somebody. That's got to take some work. And yet he did it. And God blessed it. God blessed what he did on the Sabbath. And it was like God's blessing something that we think God should curse. But he's blessing him even on the Sabbath. And Jesus even said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. That's too much. God established the Sabbath, not you, mister. That means I am Lord. They didn't get it. I'm the one. I established this. I can do what I want with it. He established his authority over the law. Over the law. You know, they had teachers who would interpret, but the teachers would basically just lay on more law. So if the law said, you know, you shall not carry a burden on the Sabbath, they said, well, let's define burden. Burden is, you know, you definitely don't carry your wife over the threshold. That's a burden. And they just had all of these rules, what a burden was. I mean, you couldn't even carry enough ink to write a full letter or two letters if it's a small one. And so that's a burden. Don't carry it. So they had all these rules, and that's the way they explained the law. Like legalism at its finest. I'm here to teach you the scriptures today. Stop doing this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Does God love you? Absolutely. But if you stop doing this, and if you stop doing that. And that was kind of the burden that they carried. That was religious tradition. But Jesus came, and he taught as one having authority. It was like, here's what this means. What do you mean you know what this means? Nobody knows what that means exactly. You have to go to the oral writings to figure that stuff out. But it said Jesus taught not like their scribes and Pharisees, but like one having authority. He taught the Beatitudes, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. You know what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's authority. He told the religious leaders whose traditions made them look so holy. He said, are you holy rollers? Your traditions are causing you to violate the law of God that you say you uphold. Why is it by your traditions, your religious service, are you not doing the simple things like caring even for your own parents in their old age? You're not taking care of practical things. You're just very religious. And then, oh, this was a tough one for all the men especially. You say adultery is sin. True. That was right. But I say, if you even look at a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You say this? Who are you? I like the other version better. But he had the authority to interpret the law. He had all authority. So it's interesting that they ask him, as if he hasn't been telling them all along, the healing. He showed healing over sickness. He commanded the weather, settle down, waves. He did all of these things over Satan, casting out the demons, all that stuff. He showed his authority, and yet here they are. By what authority are you doing this? Now, they're trying to trap Jesus. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we do, we need to understand what authority means. You understand authority? Authority means someone says, and it is so. Not, well, here's my two cents, and let's work this out. That's not authority. That's negotiating, but it's not authority. Authority is, I have to get this done. I have the authority. I have the backing of some certain agency. One of the things I loved when I was in the military was that it didn't matter the rank of the person or inspector who came. If we were in line with the governing documents, all I had to do was bring out those documents and say, we're in line with these regulations. And they had to deal with something much higher than my lowly rank because I had that authority. Well, God has all authority. All authority. Doesn't matter what we think, doesn't matter what we feel, doesn't matter what we've done in the past or what others have done or what others say is okay. The Lord alone has authority, and Jesus has that kind of authority. And the question we want to address for ourselves today is, have we recognized that? Have we accepted his authority in our lives? Do we seek him with all of our hearts? You know, one of the things that I've learned, I talked to my kids here recently, and I just told them honestly, I said, you know what? I wasn't just talking to my kids. I was talking to the family, but the kids were there. And I said, you know, I stink at prayer. I'm not good at prayer. And what I mean is not that they're not eloquent, not that they're not heartfelt, but it's so easy for us to pray for the people around us. I don't mean pray for them, Lord, I lift them up, but I mean saying things more for their benefit than as if we're actually talking to the Lord. Like you'll hear people praying, Lord, you know, in Luke chapter 24, verse, and you're spitting out the verse, and it's like God's going, yeah, I know. I didn't need the address, but now that everyone else thinks you're pretty cool and nifty with the scriptures, when we pray, and it's really for everyone else. We're thinking about everyone else. We're worried about everyone else when we pray. Maybe we're worried about our wife or our kids, and we pray. Instead of genuinely going to the Lord and crying out to him, because, Lord, you have all authority. Lord, I need direction. I think I've got things figured out today, and that's a problem because I don't. I think I do. In my brain, I think I do. But Lord, I know my track record and I know your word, and I can only by faith acknowledge right now I need your guiding hand in my life today. If I'm going to walk by faith, any of us, if we're going to walk by faith, we need to understand the authority of Christ, and that needs to impact our prayer life. We need to seek him for direction. We need to seek him for guidance. We need to seek him for strength. We need to seek him for patience, wisdom. We need to seek him because he has the authority to give it. And we need him. The religious leaders are not real thrilled with Jesus' authority or this so-called authority, and they're trying to trap Jesus with the question. The reason it's a trap is because if Jesus were to answer very plainly, my authority comes from the Heavenly Father. I am your Messiah. I have full right to the throne of David. I am God. Then that would be a little too much all at once for everyone, and it would be the end of the line. They were ready to go ahead, poised to apprehend him and take care of business. But because it was not exactly the time yet, Jesus doesn't avoid the question, but Jesus is just so awesome. He's so wise. He employs an acceptable practice for the time. I think it's a great practice, actually, where he's able to ask a question of his own first before having to answer the question. See, if you attack someone with a question, they're caught off guard. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. Whoa, where did that come? I wasn't ready for that, for that question. And so, to balance things out, it was only fair that the person who received the question could ask a question first in return, before feeling the need to have to answer what they ask. It put things on a more level playing field. And so Jesus does that. In verse 24, we read, Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? That was a stumper there. We'll find out in a moment why. But let's talk about baptism, the baptism of John. We look at baptism today as some kind of New Testament thing, but did you know baptism actually predates the New Testament? The Essenes were a group who were known for baptizing and their ritual purity, their cleansing through washing and through baptism. They had in their area out in the wilderness is where they camped themselves. They had lots of mikvah or mikvaot, which is the plural form, and it simply means it's a dugout trench where they would put water and you could baptize yourself, basically. You'd go in, cleanse, come up, and you'd come out clean. And it was for ritual purity. Let me give you a little background on the Essenes, so we have a running start here. In between the Old and New Testament, there's a period of time called the 400 silent years where they didn't hear the voice of God. John the Baptist, or actually John's dad, hears the voice of the Lord speaking through the angel that a son will be born and be John the Baptist. But until then, there were silent years and a lot happened. Rome came in and built the roadways and created a forced peace and all of those things. But there was a leader before Rome came in named Antiochus Epiphanes. He came in and he owed a lot of money because they had been defeated by the nations to the north. And because of that, he kind of, as a son, inherited all this money that they owe. So he saw the Jews as an opportunity in their temple to kind of get some money. They got a lot of gold. So he actually went in, picked on the Jews, stripped all their gold, took everything they could, had them give to them, and he wanted to wipe out their religion completely. He had such a disdain for them. And so he started mixing practices, sacrificing at the temple, forcing them to, telling them to stop circumcision. He just wanted to get rid of them, their identity. So he was a horrible man in history, especially for the Jews. Well, there was a group, Judas Maccabeus, who was offended by all of this and finally one day makes a stand. And as he makes this stand, he kills one of his own people because he was going to go ahead and submit to the rules. He goes, stops him, and a whole revolt takes place. And in the course of this revolt, eventually they get everything back. And his family, it's called the Hasmonean dynasty, they kind of take over and start to establish. They start establishing rulership again for Israel and the priesthood, everything. But it was all tied in one. And many of the Jews were uncomfortable with this because that was not supposed to be the case. They're not supposed to have a ruler and priest. Those two don't go together. That's against the law. But these had it. And they kept saying that, well, once we get a religious person, once we get a righteous person in, then we'll pass that on. We know it's supposed to be separate. But the people were a little worried about that. This is how Rome got introduced into the picture, by the way. Rome was keeping their distance at the time. But they invited them in because there was an unsettling within the Jewish community themselves.
Building on the solid rock. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us. And please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your